Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy and remain the key to fueling our nation's growth. Our very own Mark Haney is on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown we love. He is the ultimate small business coach, sounding board, and storyteller. But to us, he's still good old Marky from down on the block. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. You know, entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They're the ones that take the big risks. They're the ones that make the big sacrifices, all so they can put food on their table for their families, take care of their friends, take care of their loved ones, right? They put it all on the line. I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney, the marine entrepreneur. How you doing, Marcus Haney? You hanging or banging, buddy?
I am great. I am banging. I look forward to today's show. Got our banker here today, so maybe twist his arm.
It's
going to
be a tremendous show.
Good going, huh?
Well, you know what, Marcus? You think about, we're going to be talking a little bit about high tech today. We're going to be talking a little
not
bit.
Not to me, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk to John Gregory, who's coming up. We're going to talk about some of the stuff he's working on and getting some of these high tech companies funded. But you know what? It makes me think about the similarities between people who have gone and fought for our freedom, like yourself, and people who are trying to build these businesses, these entrepreneurs, especially the tech guys, right? There are commonalities between the two. I wonder which one is more scary. Is it more scary, so I'm thinking back to you, Marcus. So you are a high school kid playing football, playing baseball, kind of that jock guy, getting yourself into a little trouble, even spend a little time behind bars, juvenile hall for causing a kid to have a little bit of extra medical work done to him. You graduate from high school, you go off to college, parents are so proud, Arizona State. A year later, your fraternity gets kicked off a campus for fighting. It's like, here he's back working at the Cheesecake Factory as a waiter, and then you decide, you know what, I'm 20 years old, I'm gonna join the Marines. So you go in the Marines, and first thing they do when you're in the Marines, right, they make you do all this work, and then they teach you how to handle an automatic weapon, right? They get a 20 year old kid who's had a few scrapes, and they throw him this gun, and eventually he's leading a group of other 20 somethings to war, right? So which is scarier, that's kind of a scary thought, or what we see sometimes in funding, Marcus? You know, you got these 20-something-year-old young people that have maybe they've been the studious type in school, and they're discovering these inventions, right? They're solving some of the world's biggest problems. They're 23, 24 years old, and guys like John Gregory figure out a way to get them $1 million, right? Right. And so they're building this team, 24-year-old kid in charge of $1 million and building this this cure for something, or this virtual reality or augmented reality that's going to change the world. Which is scarier?
Great point. Thanks for setting me up for all you listeners. Now you know about some
I always
gotta
trick
bumps
you with the
and bruises. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So what do you think is scarier?
As an entrepreneur and as somebody who's been in that combat situation, I would say that in the military, they kind of prepare you with a ton of training that I don't think you can get in the entrepreneurial community. And the thing that we always lived by was having a battle buddy.
Yeah.
And in the Marine Corps, you always had somebody by your left or by your right behind you or in front of you that you can lean on and when situations gets hard. And I think as an entrepreneur, you've talked about the trough of sorrow a ton of times on the show. And what
it's
that
not
looks
easy.
Like.
Yeah.
Right. And without the right business partner, without the right partnerships with a five-star bank, then it makes it a lot more tough. You don't necessarily have that battle buddy built into entrepreneurship. So I think at the end of the day, starting a business with your grit and your tenacity, it tends to be a little bit tougher, in my opinion, than learning how to shoot an automatic weapon. Yeah. Whereas going into a combat situation is a completely different animal.
Yeah, but you really can't compare the fear, the sacrifice, the risk. You can't compare them. But I think you can compare how you feel, and I think you can also compare the people that are best suited to help train you, right?
Right.
So the guy that's training you on how to be a Marine, Marcus, I have to assume that guy's actually been there, done that, Iraq, Afghanistan, maybe somewhere else. This guy's played the game.
Yeah, the guys that train you from School of Infantry Training, those guys are all infantry grunts who have been to war, and they're specific jobs, right? Whether it be machine gunning or you know, just basic infantry riflemen. And then you get to the fleet and you get trained by the folks that are probably on your same age bracket, which makes them your peer group. But yet these guys have done numerous tours to actual combat scenarios as well, and they teach you how to get mentally prepared and actually become a unit at the end of the day. So,
well, I mean, I guess the best way to learn is to get in the game, get your own experience. But the second best way to learn is by talking to someone who's been there, done that. And it makes me think about just the sacrifices that you make, and the feeling of you mentioned battle buddy. Now, there's times in our life when we have these doubts, and there's times in life when we feel a little bit alone. I have to imagine that has happened a few times in your career, right? You get out there, and you're alone at the thing, and at the helm, and how does that feel?
Well, that's interesting, because I'm as an entrepreneur, I don't have a business partner. I'm a solopreneur, if you will. Right? I think a lot of folks out there are in that same exact category. Don't necessarily have a business partner. Luckily, I have Haney Biz to turn to for resources and things along those lines. But you look back and you got nobody standing there holding your dream up with you. You kind of have to take it upon yourself, which I like that a little bit. I'm kind of one of those people who likes to put everything on my shoulders and take it across the finish line a little bit. But it is scary and it is tough to think about, and that's why doing this show and reaching out to people in the Sacramento region is so powerful and so impactful to people who might be a little scared to jump in or might be a little bit nervous about taking on a business partner that, might not necessarily put them in a category to be successful. Look for someone out there that can change your world.
Well, we always talk about solitude is the death of the entrepreneur, right? So being alone is never fun. I think we end up with extra doubts. We end up not necessarily believing in ourselves. Sometimes when we have those, we sort of look at things like the glass is a little bit more empty than it is full. So, I mean, I agree. We call it the power of with the right business partner around you, anything is possible, and you don't have to feel so alone. And, that's what this show is about. You're right, Marcus. And today, coming up on the show, we're going to have some people that that make us feel a little bit more confident, that make us feel a little bit less alone. Later in the show, we're going to have the person that makes me feel a lot less alone, my wife, Stacey Haney. She is coming on the show today. She's going to share some of the things that we're doing at Allegiant Giving, some of the things that we are doing out there in the community, some of the things we're doing for our hometown. She's bringing on Vicky Curtis and Sue Oliveira to talk about what we're doing. And before that, we're going to have George Foreman Jr., right? He's coming in. We're going to insert him into the middle. And at the beginning of the show, coming up after the break, we are going to have Mr. John Gregory, five-star fan. He's the co-founder of the Capital Region, ARVR. He's the venture funding guy at Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more about that. During the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of California Backyard. I am the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the place where our crazy dreams seem just a little less crazy. Mark Haney is our chief dreaming officer. He knows the right people, the right tactics, and the right philosophies to win. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of being joined by John Gregory. He is the man behind Five Star Bank and so much more. John, how you doing today?
I'm hanging and banking.
The banker is in the house with a little bit of humor.
Doing well.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a tough question here now. Who is John Gregory, the man?
Well, it started with a dream.
Okay. your dad.
An entrepreneur's dream.
Okay.
Actually, I really enjoyed listening to your conversation with Marcus about his background.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar story in my young adulthood, minus the bars.
Didn't get behind bars. Okay. Yeah, that was awkward for a bit.
But I had a calling after seeing that Bill Murray movie Stripes in 1982.
Uh-huh.
The next day, my buddy and I went into our recruiting station, and I joined the U.S. Army, and in that, spent a couple years in Germany, and from that, learned a lot of skills that I believe apply to entrepreneurship, as you were describing early, from teamwork and leadership. And I think most importantly, unique to entrepreneurship is this notion of sense of urgency that's uncommon really outside the military and entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So there are similar, I mean, I think about the movie Stripes, which you referenced. I mean, how much different is the Army than Stripes? It's got to be a lot different. I love that movie.
Yeah, it was about 1%.
Okay, but the Army and entrepreneurship, there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Well, planning is really, really important. Marcus relayed some of that, but certainly when you're deploying a plan in the field within your mission, it requires a series of actions, some leadership, and some roles and responsibilities that are assigned. And the same thing goes into launching a new venture and the co-founders and the map of the plan that they lay out and the roles that are assigned and the idea to go from the dream to the vision, to the reality, and hopefully the exit is all part of what has to be part of this kind of timeline, which I think is similar to when you're deploying across a specific mission you might have in the military.
Well, you mentioned sense of urgency. So these people that obviously if you are in the middle of a combat zone, there is a serious sense of urgency. But, you know, somebody launches a business, they typically only have so much runway before they get profitable. And if they don't get over the hump fast enough, yikes. I mean, obviously you are dealing in that situation or are trying not to be in that situation with the companies that you fund.
Right. So it's a daily sense of urgency for the entrepreneurs, and that's why I applaud them and their vision and the difference they make in Sacramento, California, the U.S., and globally, because it's truly unique from really any other kind of occupation in that there's a new fire or opportunity that's emerging, if not hourly, probably daily from the solopreneur or founding team members, whether it's landing that first customer that gets you some revenue to get you to profitability, or if it's a company that's got a longer timeline to get to profitability, that constant chase for landing the right source of capital, whether it's debt or an investor, that gives you the lifeline to be able to put things in place in your plan to get to profitability. Yes.
Well, let's talk about, you wear a couple hats, right? We talk about Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. You're the venture funding guru over at Five Star. I'd like to know about what's it like when you're wearing that hat? And then you also are involved with AR and VR and funding from on the venture side with Green Screen, and you guys are putting on events that are helping change the world.
We're trying, but it's a team effort, and really appreciate Haney Biz and your involvement in that. At the bank, I think we truly stand behind our desire and mission to be the entrepreneur's bank, and we do that from a number of ways. One, we're very active SBA lenders, which we believe is a great resource for emerging growth companies to access a source of capital to help them grow their companies. In addition to that, we're limited partners in more than one private equity or venture fund.
Okay, as a bank, you are a limited partner.
So that's, again, very, very unique
for
a commercial bank. And then I think third, we host a series of entrepreneur-related events intended to connect companies with capital, much like the Bank Tank.
Yeah, Five Star Bank Tank. What a great event.
March 30th.
Like it.
Thank you for being our MC for
that.
You
bet.
And then finally, independent of that, just leveraging a network here in Sacramento, but also more broadly throughout California and the U.S. to connect these entrepreneurs with other sources of capital that they might need.
Now, those other sources of capital, would those be venture capitalists? Are those angel investors, private equity?
It's all of those things. So I'll give you an example is that just today we sent out a notice about the ARVR Pitch Fest, and through that I received a communication from one of my prior alumni presenting companies from back in the early 2000s who had an exit of their company, and they now head up an angel investor group in Santa Barbara, right? So they're looking for deals not just in Santa Barbara but throughout California. So we want to position the best of what we have in Sacramento to be first in line for that source of angel investment capital in that scenario, but also to venture funds and private equity players in the Bay Area and then other sources wherever they might exist. Because we've got to build a broader capital formation base, because these entrepreneurs who are growing global ventures are going to need connections to customers and partners, board members, advisors, and capital, some of whom are here, and others through our extended network can help them get access to resources elsewhere.
Well, you mentioned the AR VR Pitch Fest. Describe what this event is going to be.
So AR and VR is an industry that's been around for a while.
Augmented reality and virtual reality.
So augmented reality, think Pokemon Go as an example.
Okay.
Kind of phone oriented.
Something off of your phone.
Virtual reality, think headphones.
Totally immersed in the world of the it's a new reality.
Yeah. So now, although both of those industries are evolving literally on a daily basis, and what's exciting to me, and again, thank you and HaneyBiz for its participation and others in the region, there's still yet to be a region in the U.S. that's really kind of claimed AR or VR as a center of influence. So we're right at a time in the history of that industry's evolution where we've got tremendous resources here with the Sacramento Kings, McClatchy New Ventures Labs, all of the healthcare institutions, and others that already have AR or VR initiatives. Couple that with being much closer to the Bay Area or LA, where there are lots of AR and VR resources than virtually any other market in the US. And by taking a stand now with the Accelerator and the Pitch Fest on August 29, we've got a real opportunity on the front end of this, again, to make the capital region in Sacramento the place to be if you want to start or grow a company like that.
So the event's August 29th, but it is a private event where the investors come together, the entrepreneurs who are great at AR and VR, they come together, and we sort of play matchmaker, if you will, and they pitch to these investors.
Exactly. So we'll have a maximum of 16 presenting companies on August 29, and there's a lot of excitement from companies to participate. In fact, on my way down this morning, had a call from a healthcare company in the Sacramento area, previously unaware of, that has established products, and the next phase of that are patents that they filed within the VR industry, and they want to roll out this business opportunity on August 29th.
Exciting stuff. So what happens to a hometown when they decide to plant that flag and they successfully plant that AR-VR flag right in the middle of their hometown and the money starts to flow in, the talent? Here, there's already some talent here because of some things that have happened up in the Grass Valley area in our proximity. But, I mean, you got the talent and then you got the funding. What happens to a hometown when that comes together?
Well, you create a lot of excitement within the town and also great visibility from outside of the area as to what's happening in the town. And you mentioned kind of technology earlier, and I think from a business perspective and a market perspective, technology companies typically have a higher multiple of return and exit opportunities.
Yes.
So ideally, we identify 1, 3, 5, 10 companies over the next 3, 5, 10 years who become very successful. They're acquired or they go public. And overnight, the shareholders, i.e. the founders or employees and or the investors, have wealth through which they use to start their own companies, invest in other companies.
And have the cycle continues. It's amazing as the cycle continues, right? One person's success just creates all this extra opportunity for the next people in line.
And I think in the general public, that's not common knowledge or education about truly what makes these entrepreneurial ventures unique from the general business community is this extra oomph that they bring to bear to a town when they have that kind of success.
So one of the things that you have done is you've brought back George Foreman Jr., right? We know his dad as being the famous boxer and doing all these things with a grill, but now George Foreman Jr. is coming back to his hometown to help with this effort. Talk to us about what that means.
Yeah, so we have a great opportunity. It was through an introduction by Lewis Stewart with the city of Sacramento, who's known George and his family going back decades. So as you relayed, George Jr. has been in Houston and other parts of the U.S., but has roots here and wants to bring his business interests and his skills back to the Sacramento area. And where that's particularly relevant through AR and VR is these deep connections he has within the sporting, entertainment, and healthcare world. So the doors that he'll be able to open and the influence that he brings to bear in these markets is a huge value add to our town here in Sacramento and to this effort overall.
So just closing thoughts, John. I mean, as you look at Sacramento, you look at, I call it the power of with Five Star Bank, with AR, VR, Pitch Fest, with the entrepreneurs coming together. Any advice to people who are thinking, you know what, I have a dream. Where do I start? Where do I begin? How do I get involved?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. My first one is, do you have the sense of urgency required?
Yes.
Because that's an essential characteristic of an entrepreneur, different from virtually any other scenario. If you have that and you have that idea or that dream, then the next step is get it into on paper, into a draft of a summary.
Yeah.
Or a deck of some kind. Find successful entrepreneurs in the Sacramento area and have coffee or a lunch or a beer with them and share your idea and ask for critical feedback. Get involved in the various networking events and functions that we all collectively are doing and realize that if you're going to grow a company, you can't do it all your own, and that there are people that want to work with you and share in your value. You just have to ask.
Love it, John. Thank you for coming on the show. And I agree with you. Nobody builds a great business alone. Don't change the station, because after the break, I sit down with George Foreman Jr. and we share our passion for igniting the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. This is the Mark Haney Show.
We are back with your entrepreneurial weekend wake-up call. It's Mark Haney time. And welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us has something special inside. And Mark Haney has a knack for helping us see the greatness we have inside. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. And I am here with a man that most people in Sacramento know. He is George Foreman Jr. How you doing, George?
Mark, thanks for having me. This is a real privilege. Thank
well, you bet. And I don't know you well, but this is just the beginning. Okay, talk to us about what you're doing here in Sacramento as we move forward. But now let's hear, who is George Foreman Jr.?
Well, unfortunately, I'm one of the Georges. My father made a big mistake by naming all of us Georges, but I said, Dad, why'd you do that? Why'd you name us all George? He said, if you got hit by Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Evander Holyfield, you name all your kids one name too.
Keep it simple. Hey, that's the story of my life. Keep it simple. I love it. Now, how did you, okay, so there's seven brothers, right?
Five boys.
Five boys.
And five girls. And
okay.
I was raised in Sacramento. So I had the best of both worlds, Houston in Texas, and okay, then Northern California and Sacramento, California. So went to John F. Kennedy in Sacramento, have family and friends there. My mother was from Sacramento. So it's just a really good feeling to always come back, reunite with the community. And then I went to school with so many successful people that always bring me back and say, George, forget New York, forget Texas, you need to come back and do stuff in Sacramento. So that's been my goal for the longest.
So now you're back. Well, how did you divide your time as a child between Houston or with your dad and here in Sacramento?
School year here.
Okay.
Last day of school, right. Boom. There in Texas.
Yeah.
Working on the ranch, from riding horses, taking care of cattle, traveling with my dad when he came back to boxing. Everything was with Big George in the summertime, teaching me how to be the man that I am today.
And where did you line up in birth order? Are you
the oldest son?
Are you the oldest son? Okay.
So yeah, definitely.
Any extra responsibility being the oldest son, the oldest George?
Well, let's ask your
sisters aren't named George, are they?
Georgetta.
Georgetta. Yeah, Georgetta. All of them are named Georgetta?
Yeah, one is Georgetta, and then there's Frida George. My dad put sprinkled George all around. So it was
okay.
He's that guy. But yeah, a lot of responsibility. A lot of my siblings went to private schools and everything, and my dad said, you know what? Your education is going to be on the ranch. You're going to be playing college basketball. When everyone's going on spring break, you're going to be doing hard work, because one day when you run your stuff, even potentially my stuff, you're not going to complain about traveling because you're going to be thinking about your hard work on the ranch. And you're going
to
be.
So it doesn't sound like your dad took it easy on you. With your dad having so much success and then young people growing up through, how did he shelter you in any way? Or did he, I mean, obviously he threw you right into the ranch, but I'm just wondering, what's it like having a famous dad, and what is, how is that different than the normal guy growing up?
Yeah, so the good thing about having Big George as my dad, we had two different lives where 1977 he retired. So until 87 he didn't come back to boxing. And we have a man here, Mr. Greg, that was around for my father's first comeback fight in Arco Arena. He used to run Arco Arena.
Yeah, Greg Van Dusen, my right-hand man.
And it's amazing to come back to Sacramento and tie all these things together. But 87 to 91, until he fought Holyfield, he was just a regular dad that wasn't famous. And then after that, and then the Foreman Grill, was a famous dad. So I had the best of both worlds with him as well. It was a good thing. So
interesting. So now you are back in Sacramento. How do you divide your time today between Sacramento and the rest of the parts of the world?
Yeah, so I travel around. I have a lot of ventures, different places. But Sacramento is my passion. So I'm here once a month and making sure that I can bring so many things, so many opportunities. We're famous for our deal flow, right?
Right.
And if you think about the Foreman Grill, you think about Casual Mail. One was formed in Chicago, other in Boston, other companies in Pittsburgh, but nothing to tie the Foreman's to in business with Sacramento, right? So I want to change that narrative, right?
Okay.
So when people talk about our deals and talk about some of the best deals we've been a part of, I want them to grow out of Sacramento.
Aha. So you're an investor. You have this celebrity brand within your family, and you're leveraging that to help people grow their business. Talk to us about what that looks like in your investments.
Yeah. So when I worked at the Grill, people used to come and say, could you present this to your father? Can you present this to the CEO? I used to help them get ready for QVC, HSN, Walmart, Target. And I realized I was running a consulting business and wasn't getting paid or taking equity, right?
Uh-huh.
But we grew that business, and now I can offer consulting services, but now I can start my own companies, but then be a platform to help other people. What's the good to dominate and do everything yourself with your family if you're not having a platform to help other people? And so people come to me for help a lot, and I don't have the time or the resources to help. I wanted the last couple of years, I want to change that to really, really work in the community and be a real resource to entrepreneurs.
Wow. Yeah, so many common values. I'm here in my hometown trying to help it grow, as you are as well. So I look forward to working alongside you to help in any way that I can. But thinking about how it works. So somebody comes to you, they have a product, they have an opportunity, and they come to you. How do you actually help them ignite their business?
Yeah, so there's different challenges. You know this. Everyone at that table knows when you're starting a business, you might have the best law firm in town,
yes,
right? In the country, Mr. Fred. I want my spokesperson fee for that. So you might have the best law firm, right? But you might not have an inn in sports, or there's an executive that you're trying to get to that doesn't pay you attention.
Mm-hmm.
Where we come in and make sure that we can open up doors for you.
Okay.
But then sometimes you might be a guy who understands manufacturing but doesn't understand marketing.
Good point.
I play that role. Sometimes there's a marketing guy that doesn't understand manufacturing. My relationships in Hong Kong, India, we can help you there, right? Sometimes you don't understand technology. I've been a part of AR and VR from the beginning when it looked like Atari, right?
Right.
So just understanding every point of business and adding value to each category, right? My father always taught me, he said, you know what? I give you the gift of being very naive. He said, the smart guys know what they can't do. You're naive. You don't know what you can't do. So,
but you're curious, and you like to help other people, which is a gift in and of itself. That generosity, I guess that value system that you were raised with, helping other people. In this case, you're helping people to grow their businesses. But you brought up AR, VR, right? These are technologies, augmented reality, virtual reality. Explain what that is to our listenership.
Yeah, so Virtual reality started where you wanted to be in the environment, whether it's learning, playing video games, or watching a sporting event. Yeah. You want to be there, yeah. right? You want to feel it. You don't want to get off your couch. You can put the headset on your head.
Right.
But I remember when it first started, the graphics were off, and I showed my grandmother the headset, and she got a little dizzy.
Okay.
And I wanted to come up with something where I wanted to create 360 content, and you didn't have to put the headset on.
Right.
You didn't want to feel confined. So giving people that option to be to watch 360 content without being confined. So we started a company called Ion 360, where you can film 360 content, upload to Facebook and YouTube, and take pictures as well. So if you think about all your raising your kids, family reunions, when you archive that footage, what can that mean later?
Yeah.
And so that works in virtual reality, augmented reality, but then it's regular content as well.
So on the virtual reality, you actually put on a mask or a headset of some kind, and you are immersed into that to that feeling that you get when you're right in the middle of something. It might be a family reunion,
a boxing match,
or a war.
With old, watching old Kobe basketball games.
You are in the middle of it. It feels like you're there. Yeah.
That's right.
From a visual standpoint, it feels like you're there, but do you feel it in other ways as well with virtual reality?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the way that technology is going, you're gonna feel it, especially now. Augmented reality is the next phase of virtual reality,
okay.
where now content is coming at you, poking out of the screen, and really augment it, right?
Yeah.
Like it really is. And so that technology to help people learn and help people be entertained more, watch movies in a different way, it's just it's amazing. And that's where it's going. And I'm really thankful for guys like you, because I used to come here and talk about that stuff 5 years ago and people thought I was crazy. And now that it's there, we have a big Pitch Fest coming up August 29th. Companies around the country are coming to Sacramento, and we want to be the hub of innovation, right?
August 29th, hub. I am the master of ceremonies. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they brought me on as an MC. I guess they were hurting. They couldn't find anybody.
No, we know that. We know we have. Mic,
so I am the guy. August 29th, and I'm an investor into green screen, right? We're a venture capitalist, if you will, that focuses on VR and AR. And so these guys, John Terrific. Gregory and Dave Sanders and their teams are bringing everybody together. The investors meeting up with the entrepreneurs, the people with the ideas.
John Gregory, Dave Sanders, great men, good people, right? And then putting funds together, putting a platform together where people can really showcase their dreams, right? And you know, when you're trying to explain your business to your family and your cousins and even sometimes your wife, they look at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But now if you can create a culture where you don't have to look crazy anymore, you're really doing this. And now Sacramento can be the hub where we can grow this and now give it to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That's the key. And John Gregory and Dave Sanders put this together.
Well, it's amazing. As entrepreneurs, we have we all start off with this dream. We want to change the world, build something important for our family, for our friends, and many times it's for the greater good. And virtual reality is that kind of technology where the greater good is going to benefit from some of this cutting edge, the efforts of these guys risking everything. Investors like yourself risking on these ideas.
Agreed. And then, I mean, in any facet of business, virtual reality and augmented reality can help, right? I mean, sometimes when I'm in Texas, I miss Sacramento. I put my headset on and I visit every address I used to live in Sacramento, from Gloria Drive to Valley High. I'm visiting my old addresses, my old elementary schools. And it's like, what can that do around the world? And it's just like, what apps, who's going to come up with the next technology to take it to the next level? How we're going to use it for sports, medicine, anything. How are we going to do it? So let's
training surgeons on how to go do the intricate details of surgery.
There you go.
Yeah.
I
saw it the other day. We one of our customers is the Wynn Boston, right? It's a major casino, and it's going up in Boston, and they're trying to figure out what the rooms ought to look like, right? They're trying to decide decide what the color schemes ought to be, where to place the bathrooms, and virtual reality can allow us to imagine what's in the architect's mind as he designs that building.
Exactly.
Incredible.
I could never read blueprints when I was growing up. So now with virtual reality, I can be in a real estate business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's making it easy for guys like me and you to jump in and really bring what we have. You obviously have this celebrity brand and this huge network of investors and the ability to open up doors on a larger scale. Well, thinking about dreams of entrepreneurs, how does it change the life of an entrepreneur? He partners up with you or she partners up with you and the business blows up. What happens to that entrepreneur from there?
Well, that's a good question. I've been a part of entrepreneurs and they're making their dreams come true. And they look up, and that's not their dream. You got to be careful what you ask for, because sometimes you get it.
Ah.
You know, some guys make $1 million and they lose their families. You know, so make sure when you're getting into this business world, you're true to yourself and you keep your integrity. Yeah. Every partner that you have, you shake their hands. It's not about a piece of paper. It's not about willing and dealing. Shake hands. And it's okay to move into deals and out of deals, but make sure you set your standards and set your integrity meter.
Don't let your success go to your head.
Yeah, and don't let your failure go to your head. I was talking to the great Fred. We were at the dinner.
Fred Penny.
We were at the dinner last night, and we always talked about getting up off the canvas. And sometimes you might have a failure. Dust your pants off and get right back up. Don't blame anybody but yourself. And don't change your mindset. Stay positive and you can go on to the next one. And I think that's the big lesson with entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Figure out what kind of person you are before you're going for your dream.
Sometimes we learn these lessons in entrepreneurship. I agree. Nobody goes through life undefeated. It's those who can get up and persevere and begin to continue to fight. But thinking about your philosophies, growing up with all those children, bouncing back and forth a little bit with your lives, what is the biggest disadvantage that you had as a child that sort of shaped that philosophy?
The biggest disadvantage, my mom passed when I was 18. And I thought it was over. I remember the day I found it out. She was in Sacramento, passed away at UC Davis. I was in at Texas with my dad and being with him, and he had to tell me that. And I was like, that's it. that's it. And so if you can rebound from something like that, you can rebound from a stock going down or an investment going down. You just got to make sure that you think about others. I was always thinking about my brothers. What kind of example I was going to set for my brothers, and then I eventually had daughters. So that's the kind of thing that bouncing back from adversity, I'm conditioned for that.
Yeah.
It's like, when you're fighting, mm-hmm. you're conditioned to get hit in the rib and you train your abs. I'm conditioned for adversity and I expect it, but I expect positive results too. And I expect unrealistic things to happen for me as well. Yeah. So just having that condition and set, I'm prepared.
Well, we always think, at Marcus, my son Marcus and I will sometimes talk. It's like, when did you become a man? And actually, when my mom got sick when I was in my mid-20s. And I feel like that was a time where I all of a sudden had to grow up as well. So it sort of seems I hit it a little bit later than you did. But thinking about how that changed you is so impactful to me because I feel like I had a similar situation. But moving forward here, okay, so to get the technology here in Sacramento, I heard a rumor you were contemplating bringing boxing to our hometown.
Yeah, so rumor is true.
Okay.
Sometimes rumors are good and rumors are true, right? That was my goal. Before I took on Ion 360, before I met John Gregory, I had a partnership with the great Bob Arum. I don't know if anybody heard of Bob Arum. And
okay.
We had Mr. Greg knows him, but we co-promoted Manny Pacquiao. And when we started, we went to China. We had a partnership with the Venetian Macau. And we partnered with the local talent, grew that brand. We started with 2,000 people in the seats. And at the end, we brought HBO, Manny Pacquiao, and we had 18,000 seats sold out every time we went there for 3 years,
wow.
right? And my goal was to come back to Sacramento and do some of the same things, grow local talent, engage sponsorships, grow venues, put the spotlight on venues, and really build a culture of boxing, right? Not just do one show. So hopefully one day we can get to that and I can have local partners to do that. That's my goal and that's my dream to do that in Sacramento, not just have one fight. It's easy to bring one championship fight to Sacramento and it goes away. But
how would that work? Would that be a club-type atmosphere? I know Uriah Faber is a good buddy of mine. He's an MMA superstar, well-known as the California Kid. How would a boxing industry, how would the boxing industry converge on Sacramento? What would that look like?
Yeah, so it's a club atmosphere. Having a go-to venue in Orange County, they had a great go-to venue in Irvine. I can't remember the name, but every business person would sponsor seats, bring clients, and really bring a high-end level of boxing. But then to support, it's all to support local kids and their dreams, right? Grow their brands, grow them as fighters, and then when a big show comes, a big boxing match comes to Sacramento, we can put them on the undercards for the big championship fights that HBO or ESPN wants to do. So now you have the big event, but then you have everybody from Sacramento supporting the local youth. And right now it's just missing, right? So that's how you do it. And you build a 3 to 4 year plan. And long-term investment is the key to something like that.
You bet. Well, just closing thoughts. You think about the hometown that we love, a place that raised both of us to some large extent. Advice to the entrepreneurs here in our hometown as they move forward to chase their dreams.
Advice is this. There's a guy that does luxury automobiles.
Oh, yes.
I want him
Luke Smith, Audi Rockland.
I want him to lease me a Audi for free. And that's the advice. And then
absolutely. It should not be
deal.
A problem.
He said deal. Yeah. Anybody
they're
get
so
that?
They're so generous over there at Audi Rockland.
All right. Audi Rockland. George Foreman Jr. supports them. So I think just in closing, really everybody, I love competition. I was born from competition. I'm a feisty guy. But to bring people together, to have one goal, to put the spotlight on Sacramento in this region, that's the goal I really want. Yeah. So that's what I want to do.
I love it. George Foreman Jr., bringing his talent, bringing his wisdom, bringing his resources to the hometown we love. George, thanks for joining us on the show today. Quite a treat. I look forward to working with you to help this hometown that we both enjoy so much.
Look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Welcome back to your entrepreneurial wake-up call. Mark Haney is living proof that nobody goes through life undefeated. His failures have defined his philosophies. His successes have defined his mantras. And through his stories, we are awakened to our own true potential. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by three beautiful women, Stacey Haney, Vicky Curtis, and Sue Oliveira. How are you three doing today?
Awesome.
We're doing great.
Welcome. Well, okay, so we're going to get to know. We're going to start with you, Stacey. Some of the people on our show have heard me reference you a few times. Are you hanging or banging? How are you doing today?
Well, first of all, you're not going to sing, right?
Not today. No,
okay,
I will not sing to you. Well, if you're good, I will.
I am definitely banging. Hanging is, you know, when you're just hanging, but banging is when you're at your best, at your very best opportunity.
Yes.
And today is my very best opportunity,
okay.
So I'm banging.
Yeah, well, you brought along some of your close friends with Ruff. You are here as somebody who is Haney Biz through and through, but also Allegiant Giving, and you brought along some friends at Ruff, Sue and Vicky. Talk to us about how you met Sue and Vicky.
Well, let me back up a little bit. So we're part of Allegiant Giving Corporation, and that was founded in December of 2010. And throughout our years, we've done a lot of programs. We've raised money for wheelchairs. We've given money to scholarship programs and so forth. So last September, I was at a 911 event here in our local town in Rockland, and I saw a booth, and it called to me. So I went over, and I had the opportunity to meet some of the folks from Ruff, and I feel like she's my sister from another mother.
Uh-huh.
So Sue and Vicky and I have a real good chemistry and been working together.
So we know a little bit about Allegiant Giving. We'll share more of that in a second. Vicky, you are the founder of Ruff. Tell us what you do at Ruff.
Well, we started out to just be a dog park, and you know how that goes. You meet people like Stacey Haney at 911, and all of a sudden that mother from a sister from another mother.
Sister from another mister.
Changes your whole perception. And we had already been working with veterans, and we made the commitment to help our disabled veterans, and that's how we all got this thing
Amazing.
Going.
Amazing. So you brought along Sue. Sue is the chairman of the board of RUF. Talk to us about the problem, Sue, that RUF solves.
So RUF originally, as Vicki said, started out as designing and building the dog park in Rockland. And after that was all done, we thought we need something else to do. We need a program.
Yeah.
So we started looking around, and we found that serving veterans with PTSD was a huge issue. So we created a program called Healing Heroes. Healing Heroes, from a RUF perspective, funds service dog training for veterans with PTSD. We do this at American River College. We have classes at Pet Food Express. We've done it at... through some church organizations. We've recently launched a program at Beale Air Force Base. So really what we're all about now is funding service dog training for those veterans that are really suffering from PTSD.
How does a service dog change the course of a veteran's life, Vicki?
If you ask a veteran, they will tell you the most important thing that dog did for them was that dog saved their life.
Yeah.
That's how they change their life. A veteran who couldn't get up in the morning gets up, can go to work, can go to school, can play with his kids, can go to the grocery store, can still love his wife when he couldn't even do that before.
Yeah, so many of these folks have lost their best friends or seen tragedies of war. Stacy, you know, we having Marcus, I can see why the common ground was instantaneous. Thinking about the way... lives are altered when they go to war, and then coming back. Talk to us about why the RUF partnership means so much.
One of the things that I've noticed in the recent past is that the need for the Action Track wheelchairs is dwindling a little bit, which is a huge, great, fabulous thing.
And let's explain what that Action Track wheelchair is. These are tank tracks. If you come into the Allegiant Giving Center here at Mark Tank inside the Marquee Media Studios, you will actually see this gigantic wheelchair that has tank tracks on the bottom of it, so that veterans who come back and they have lost their limbs, they can actually navigate and find some freedom off-road. We've given away a number of those chairs to severely wounded combat veterans. So you're saying that there's less of those needed at this time?
Yes, that's been our experience.
Okay.
So when I had the opportunity to meet RUF and start talking about how Allegiant Giving could start dealing with some of these psychological issues that veterans have when they return, it really pulled at my heartstrings. It's a passion that I have. I just didn't really know how to serve that community. And so when our lives aligned, I felt like it was a perfect partnership, and that's what got us here today.
Sue, my son Marcus says that it's 23 veterans commit suicide per day. What's a success story look like for RUF?
So we've actually, Vicki and I were at an event in Auburn called The Forgotten Soldier about 6 months ago, and we met a young man and his family with his five children who came right up to us and was very interested in it, in the service dog. He's a teacher, but he has his issues. And so we got to talking to him about it, and he was very excited about the program. He had been on a 2-year waiting list with another organization that he just couldn't get a dog. We actually, through our program and through Allegiant Giving funding that was donated to us, were able to buy him a dog. He's now in training with that dog, and he's actually agreed to become our spokesperson.
Wow.
So he's been able to improve his life. He's taking his dog to training and also to school, and he's, you know, educating his students about what it's like to have PTSD and be in that environment.
Sue, starting a charitable organization, as Stacy and I can attest, is very entrepreneurial. It is not easy. It ends up being so difficult when we talk about the power of with. So, Vicki, I mean, besides Sue, besides Allegiant Giving, I mean, talk to us about the team that's sort of surfaced around you and how you've built this organization.
You know, when we started out, it was just me and my husband. And we stayed that way for many years. And as your previous guest alluded, we cannot do this alone. If we're entrepreneurs, yeah. And it became so clear that that sense of urgency, it exists in the nonprofit world, and you need a team of people working with you. And when you do it alone too long, you don't do it right, you don't do enough, you can't expand, and then you run into people like Sue who get on the bandwagon with you, and they have that sense of urgency. And then we meet Stacy, we meet you. Before you know it, we have our village, and we are able to grow and be entrepreneurial like we never thought possible. That's just so huge.
Well, you, all three of you, have this extensive business background. Yeah. You are in the financial world, Sue with high tech at Hewlett Packard, Stacy, you're the HR director at the City of Roseville and risk management. You guys are all reached high levels in business and in your careers, and now you've got that extra time, I suppose, to get. You probably don't feel like you have a lot of time, but you've got a new passion beside your work. But you know, how do we get involved? Stacy, how do people get involved in Allegiant Giving? How do people get involved in the alliance that we have with Ruff?
Well, first of all, you can contact me through Haney Biz. I can be reached anytime. But we do have an event coming up in September. It's on September 15th. It's at the Randy Peters Events Center. The funds will go towards the Action Track chairs you described, as well as to funding the purchase of dogs and also their service dog training. If people are interested in finding out more about that, they can visit AllegiantGiving.org and go under the Events tab, and they will find Taste for a Cause 2018.
And you can always hit me up too. But you know, the Haneys are known for throwing some great parties. There's no doubt. Like I've been throwing parties since I was in high school. What's this Taste for a Cause party gonna feel like? And invite me into the Randy Peters Catering Center. And what am I gonna feel? What am I gonna see? What am I gonna hear?
All right. Well, first of all, it's gonna be the party of the year. We are so thrilled to have Auburn Road, who are a trio of up and coming country music stars. They are going to be our entertainment. They just opened for Toby Keith.
Wow.
Tickets are $100 per person. It's a hosted bar, and you get to hear Auburn Road. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to that event? But the best thing is we're going to have great people there. We're going to have great food. Randy Peters' food is off the charts. Delicious. Yes. We're also going to have an amazing auction. We have some really cool items up for auction, including a cocktail party in Tom Candress's penthouse down at the Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. We're giving away our Cabo house for a little bit. Huh? And it is, like, trust me, it's off the charts. You want to come out. If you want to go hang out at a great party, Taste for a Cause is the place. There's going to be all kinds of opportunities to walk away with some really cool stuff. But I think more importantly, you get to help people like Sue, like Vicky, like Stacy, as they invest into our community, for our veterans, for our heroes. It's a chance to join forces with us. So thank you all for joining us today, sharing your story for what you do for our community. Coming up after the break, Marcus will come back on. We'll share some closing thoughts. Stick around. I am the Entrepreneur Next Door. This is the Mark Haney Show. So here
we go. American dreaming. We are back with Mark Haney, the man whose mission statement is tattooed to his soul. With future generations in mind, he will create opportunity for his family, for his friends, and for his community. He is the Entrepreneur Next Door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR and Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and you know, we've been talking about being alone, and it seems so often that when we're alone for too long, you start to have doubts. You start to even view the world a little bit differently. You start to be thinking about the world is a glass half empty versus the glass half full. You end up having doubts. You end up second guessing your decisions. You're not banging anymore. Am I right, Marcus?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. You know, isolation is not the key to success in any fashion, in my opinion.
Yeah, we talked to people today who know about surrounding themselves with people that make them better. Takeaways, closing thoughts, Marcus?
It's just so humbling as a combat wounded veteran to look back and see what you and Mom have built with the Allegiant Giving Corporation, partnering with folks over at Ruff to help combat PTSD and the suicide rate that the veteran community is suffering through right now across our nation. You know, just think back that when I was going through my physical therapy after getting shot in Afghanistan, there was this dog that they had at the physical therapy place that used to jump up on the beds that we would get therapy on and would lay there and put his head on your chest and really give you a sense of relief that is like no other. So they're doing some fantastic things, and however I can help you guys, I'm always by your side.
Yeah, it's amazing. Your mom and I have been married 33 years. I've been together a few years longer than that. All got fixed up. I was going through this spell where she actually saved my life. I was alone for the first time. I'm 20. She's 18. We get fixed up by our friend Becky, and 33 years later, I can't quite quit her. And she came on today, and she shared her story, and you know, it makes me think about, you know, time when I was alone, and she came in and really saved my life. And I think we all want that soulmate in our life, and I was fortunate enough to find that at my home and in my private life. But as an entrepreneur, you also want that support system. I think it makes you better when you go out to fight for your cause and building a business. If you have that person that makes you better in your life, so fortunate to have that for the last 33 years. He's always chasing some new dream, and I have that support system. But I also think that having that soulmate at work is has been so helpful. I think there's been times in building businesses where if I didn't have my brother Paul, my workplace soulmate, there's no way we would have built these businesses that we built. And Paul and I sold our businesses. Now he is grocery shopping with his wife. He is out playing golf. And we are divorced for the most part from a business standpoint. So what do I do? You know, I'm sort of stuck. You know, 7 years ago after selling the company, I decided to put around me what I'll call my workplace soulmate, a guy named Tim Mulligan. He came in and he's, you know, he's different than Paul, but he's my right-hand guy, if you will, the president of Haney Biz. I would be nowhere without Tim. And I think that so often we sit and we go it alone. We take that avenue, I'm going to go it alone and go it alone. And I've never been that guy. And so Tim has helped me out. Brian Oliver and Alexis are my sort of storytelling soulmates around here. And the team here at Haney Biz, they've been everything in helping grow this show and grow our attempt to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution here in our hometown. So just as I think about all of those fighting the good fight to build businesses here in Sacramento, what can you do to help that next guy in line? I think about barn raising, modern day barn raising. If you look back in time, you know, and you have a traveler, you go back to the revolution days when somebody is passing through town, deciding where they're going to settle. Let's call that person a blacksmith, right? The blacksmith is coming through town and they come into a town and they're passing through. Well, when the town says, hey, you know what, guys? We don't have a blacksmith in our town. You know what? Maybe this guy passing through, we ought to put the stop sign up for him a little bit. Maybe we should help him build his barn. Let's tilt up some walls and let's create an opportunity for this guy to stick around and help build our town. And I think that's what happens here in a town like we live in the hometown that we love here in Sacramento. I think that's what John Gregory is doing. He came on today. He's talking about bringing people together, the financing people together, along with the entrepreneurs and the other leaders of Sacramento, coming together, raising some walls, trying to figure out a way to keep these entrepreneurs here where they belong, growing their businesses here in the hometown we love. So it's a little Sacramento salute to the leaders of hometown patriotism, to all those, Marcus, like yourself, who have fought the good fight for our security in our way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to all those soulmates out there in our lives. They're always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.